Welcome to CPAC Today in Politics. Coming up, the federal government will ship several tons of garbage from the Philippines back to Canada by the end of June.
We are looking forward to having a solution to present to Canadians shortly and to our Filipino partners. We're going to continue to work on this because this is a situation that is unacceptable and has gone on for far too long.
Andrew Scheer outlines the Conservative plan to combat human trafficking.
To send a message to those who exploit our most vulnerable. To make it clear beyond a shadow of a doubt that human trafficking is an evil scourge in our nation that must be stopped.
And the Liberals ask news associations to nominate candidates to a panel that will decide which media outlets will be eligible for funding.
The Conservatives have attacked the Liberals for proceeding with this plan, accusing them of essentially using taxpayer money to buy off media in advance of the October federal election.
It's Thursday, May the 23rd. I'm Mark Sutcliffe. Let's get right to the top political stories this morning. I'm joined by Christy Kirkup of the Canadian Press. Good morning, Christy.
Good morning, Mark.
Let's start with the story of the garbage that was sent to the Philippines from Canada and is now on its way back. There are so many different political stories that we cover, and this one is about garbage, literally, and how this has turned into an international dispute. Where do we stand right now?
Well, we know, Mark, that Ottawa is going to have to spend more than $1 million to ship 2,000 tons of rotting garbage back to Canada from the Philippines, and they're hoping that all of this is going to be brought to an end before Canada Day. So we heard from Environment Minister Catherine McKenna on Wednesday that the government has signed now a $1.14 million arrangement with a company called Bolloré Logistics. They're a shipping company, and essentially what they're going to do is they're going to ship 69 containers of Canadian trash that have been sitting in ports in the Philippines for up to 6 years. And so this is a bit of a complicated process because the waste, according to the minister, has to be treated in order so that it meets Canadian safety and health requirements. They have to consider that, but these 69 containers are in fact the remainder of 103 containers that were shipped by a private Canadian company to the Philippines back in 2014 and 2013, actually, that they were labeled improperly as plastics for recycling. And you mentioned that this has become a real political dispute, specifically with the president of the Philippines, because he has been very outspoken, demanding that Canada remove this waste. Again, it's been sitting there for nearly 6 years. And he has essentially threatened to declare war if this isn't dealt with. And so he's come out and made some very, very strong statements. And again, now we have the Canadian government looking to get this all sorted and dealt with again ahead of July 1st.
Yeah, and I find it fascinating that the garbage needs to be treated in order to be allowed back to Canada, because even after that happens, it will still be garbage. So fascinating that's an element to this discussion. So let's turn to some other news and the fact that Canada is going to be spending $15.7 billion on new Coast Guard ships. And of course, anytime there is a procurement deal, there are always big questions about the process and the price tag.
Yeah, definitely. We saw the Prime Minister, he used a Canadian Coast Guard vessel in Vancouver as a backdrop for an announcement on Wednesday to announce this big spend, as you mentioned, of $15.7 billion on new ships for the Coastal Service. And this money includes two more Arctic patrol vessels from the Halifax-based Irving Shipbuilding. As well, we know that the Coast Guard desperately needs these ships, Mark. One thing documents have told us, documents obtained by my colleague Lieber Hume at the Canadian Press, this year there was a warning that more than a third of the 26 large vessels have exceeded their expected lifespan. So this is an issue that has to be dealt with. There was also a bit of a surprise in the announcement when Trudeau also revealed that the government is intending to add a third shipyard as a partner in the National Ship building strategy. And this is kind of being seen as a nod, perhaps, to Davie Shipbuilding in Quebec City. So again, Justin Trudeau coming out, he was flanked by a couple of Liberal ministers and MPs from the Vancouver area to say, you know, Canada's two existing shipyards, they don't have the capacity, he says, to deliver the fleet renewal by themselves. And so that's why Canada is starting what he calls a competitive process for a third yard to help build ships when they're needed. And as I mentioned, they are very much needed.
Yeah. And we've heard so much about that over the years, about the lack of up-to-date equipment for all facets of the Canadian Armed Forces and other organizations that serve and protect Canadians. So this is important work, obviously. Let's talk about Andrew Scheer, who has been making a series of announcements about conservative policy, the platform for the next federal election campaign. And yesterday he was talking about cracking down on human trafficking and resurrecting some of the plans that the previous conservative government had in place. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, so he's promising additional funding for a few things, for police, for survivor services, and public awareness of the issue of human trafficking. And as you mentioned, the previous conservative government, they had a four-year plan in place to combat human trafficking. It came out back in 2012, and then it expired in 2016, of course, shortly after the Liberals took office. And so Andrew Scheer has essentially expressed that a lack of a strategy now has had the effect that essentially human trafficking, he says, is no longer viewed as a federal priority, and yet it remains a huge outstanding problem. So he is promising to revive that plan from the Harper era, if you will, and he's also pledging that he's going to make some changes to the criminal code to make it easier to convict people who are accused of human trafficking. And one thing I should flag just on this particular file, coming up, of course, it's a bit related to what Andrew Scheer is talking about. Human trafficking, we think, is going to be a major theme that's going to be flagged, of course, in the forthcoming report from the Inquiry into Missing and Murdered Indigenous Women and Girls. And
right.
This is, of course, a federally funded commission. But I recently spoke to the former Truth and Reconciliation chairman, now Senator Murray Sinclair, who articulated to me that Canadians really have no idea how massive of an issue that human trafficking is, specifically involving Indigenous women in Canada. And he expects that this is going to be a centerpiece of that upcoming report that's going to be issued by the commission. So, again, I think that perhaps the timing of the Conservative leaders' remarks are perhaps thinking about, again, the fact that this is going to be likely discussed in great detail in the weeks ahead.
Right. That's interesting about the timing. Finally, let's talk a little bit about the media in Canada. And the federal government has pledged funding to support the traditional media. And now we're learning more details about how that funding is going to be handed out and who will be making the decisions around that. They're looking for people to, for specific organizations, in fact, to nominate people who would then serve on a panel that would adjudicate who would receive funding and who wouldn't.
Yeah, this is interesting, providing more detail on what exactly the Liberal government is planning to do here. So, again, there's been an invitation now sent to eight news associations, as you mentioned, that will nominate candidates to a panel, and then they'll help to figure out which media outlets will be eligible for that $595 million package. And, of course, the Liberals are saying that this is an important plan to defend a strong and independent news media that's vital to a well-functioning democracy. And the Conservatives, on the other hand, have attacked the Liberals for proceeding with this plan, accusing them of essentially using taxpayer money to buy off media in advance of the October federal election. We did see in a statement, Mark, from the Heritage Minister that, this is Pablo Rodriguez, saying that the government is creating this independent panel of experts that will make recommendations on the eligibility criteria for tax measures as a way to make sure that the rules are efficient, they're fair, and they're transparent. And so, the government has said that the money will be directed at journalistic organizations that are primarily involved in the production of original news. And again, the goal is for all of this to be done come summer. The government's saying they're planning to have this panel created by next month, and then again expecting those recommendations to be made to the minister come July.
Yeah, and it'll be fascinating to see how this plays out, and there's still lots of debate over whether this is the right thing to do or whether it will interfere with journalistic independence in some way. So I'm sure there will be lots of discussion around this in the days ahead. Christy, it's great to have you on the podcast again. Thank you very much for joining us. Have a great day.
Thank you, Mark. You too.
That's Christy Kirkup of the Canadian Press.
We are working with DND to make sure we understand what that decision they took was around the cenotaph and ensure that it is a monument that will be there for everyone who wants to remember and celebrate those veterans who stood for Canada in faraway lands.
Now, here's what political columnists and commentators are writing about today. In an editorial, the Toronto Star argues, the military deserves the blowback it's getting for excluding the families of soldiers killed in Afghanistan from a ceremony dedicating a memorial to them. The Star writes, the official explanation is that it was supposed to be a humble internal event, and the public couldn't be included because the memorial is behind the security perimeter at Defense Headquarters in Ottawa. But leaving the families out was tone-deaf at best, callous at worst. The military is now backpedaling, and the Prime Minister promises to do things right. Better yet, get it right the first time, and don't add to the pain of families who have already lost so much. In the National Post, Terry Glavin argues the situation with China is not going to improve. Glavin writes, Chinese President Xi Jinping is the new normal. Rounding up more than a million Muslims and locking them away in concentration camps, annexing the South China Sea, and making jokes about international law, and destroying centuries-old Buddhist shrines is normal now. Locking Canadians away in dungeons is normal now, and so is Canada's mewling and whimpering about it to our fellow actors on the world stage. At CBC.ca, Neil MacDonald argues that paying a carbon tax will do nothing to defend us from what lies ahead. MacDonald writes, the cost of floodproofing this country will be largely paid for with tax revenue. It is a clear and present danger at this point. And what are we discussing? A meaningless bit of window dressing sin tax. Rather than posing at gas stations filling up their vehicles, conservative politicians could pose outside homes filled with filthy river water. And perhaps liberals could show a little courage and start talking about protecting the country. Now, let's take a look at what's coming up on Canada's political agenda. Conservative leader Andrew Scheer is using a parliamentary off week to continue to roll out policy-related speech. Today, he's in suburban Montreal, and CPAC's Martin Stringer has more on that.
Mark, Andrew Scheer and the Conservatives have made much of the fact that he will be setting out five major policy speeches in the coming weeks. He's already had a speech on foreign policy, and he's had a major speech on the environment and the economy. But this week, he's been rolling out smaller speeches, largely on issues related to law and order. Yesterday, it was a speech in Conservative-friendly Aylmer in southern Ontario, where he laid out the Conservative Party's policies on human trafficking, including a pitch for stiffer criminal penalties and a return to some Harper policies, which the Liberals have overturned. This morning at 10 a.m. Eastern, he'll be speaking in Delson on Montreal's South Shore. Now, that's in the riding of La Prairie, and that's currently held by a Liberal, but it's just the kind of riding which the Conservatives are gunning for in their hopes to make inroads in Quebec. The topic for today's speech will be the Tories' approach to cracking down on child abuse.
Thanks, Martin. Also today, in a ceremony at Poundmaker Cree Nation in Saskatchewan, the Prime Minister will deliver a statement of exoneration for Chief Poundmaker. Later, in Meadow Lake, Saskatchewan, the Prime Minister will take part in a Q&A session at the Federation of Sovereign Indigenous Nations National Annual General Assembly. International Trade Diversification Minister Jim Carr will speak on a teleconference about his visits to Chile and France. Environment Minister Catherine McKenna will take part in a hike with high school students in St. John's, Newfoundland and Labrador. Veterans Affairs Minister Lawrence McAuley will be in Charlottetown for an event to mark the 75th anniversary of D-Day and the Battle of Normandy. Transport Minister Marc Garneau will make an announcement in Montreal. Innovation Minister Navdeep Bains will speak at C2 Montreal. Minister of Canadian Heritage, Pablo Rodriguez, will speak in Montreal at the unveiling of the Franco de Montréal outdoor programming lineup. Employment Minister Patty Hajdu will make an announcement in Mississauga, Ontario. In Peterborough, Ontario, International Development Minister Mariam Monsef will make an announcement about the aerospace sector. Indigenous Services Minister Seamus O'Regan will attend the Federation of Sovereign Indigenous Nations gathering in Meadow Lake, Saskatchewan. Tourism Minister Melanie Joly will speak at the Greater Vernon Chamber of Commerce, the Penticton and Wine Country Chamber of Commerce, and the BC Chamber Annual General Meeting and Conference in British Columbia. In Delta, BC, Public Services Minister Carla Quatreau will make an announcement about a clean technology project. Agriculture Minister Marie-Claude Bibeau will make an announcement in Sherbrooke, Quebec. And Minister of National Revenue Diane Leboutillier will visit Gaspésie, Quebec. And that's CPAC Today in Politics for Thursday, May 23rd. Tune into Primetime Politics tonight on CPAC for coverage of all the day's events. Our podcast returns tomorrow morning. Have a great day.